Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I know you said it, girl.
Jimmy Cash.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, woo.
Break it up.
Share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
That's right, wake up out there. Stay woke and take others with you. You're waking up with Linda Mac Shannon. It's Tele Tuesday, switching it up a little bit today. This show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, an organization that helps you get to your goals in education, workshops, experiences. But we focus on our youth. Stephanie Haynes will not be with us this evening, but on the second segment, we will have Stephanie Smith coming on, telling her story about escaping Maui. You want to listen to the things that we're going to do in segment number one, but you definitely want to hear this story in segment number two. I'd like to say happy birthday out there to all you August born people. It is our month, you know. Yes, that's right. My celebration too. Yes, I am a mama lion, a big mama lion. I roar, roar, roar. War with a big smile on my face and kindness in my heart, but I keep you woke. That is my mission out here. We're going to get started with some information, give you an update. What do you think about that indictment influencing voter fraud and all that stuff that was going on out there? Yeah, it's going to get interesting. But before we move, I want to share with you the German author Hermann Hesse writes, that the more one matures, the younger one grows. And certainly there are many people who are, as they age, become increasingly vigorous, energetic, more broad-minded and tolerant, living with a greater sense of freedom and assurance. It is important to remember that aging and growing old are not necessarily the same thing. Yeah, I got that quote from my mentor, Dr. Zachary Cater, who directs us the humanistic way, so we move on this line for happiness for ourselves and happiness for others out there. We're going to move through. My friend lost her son, and in a tragic way, lost her son. And then we're going to, over 100 people in Maui in that hurricane, are no longer here, okay? They're no longer here. And we want to continue to send prayer our condolences and take them on over to their next lifetime as they're transcending out there. Thursday night and Friday, there will be no shows. No. It's my celebration time. We'll be back on mine for Monday to tell you everything that will be there. But you know, it's my me day or my me days or my me week if you really want to know the truth about it. And we do believe in that self-care and relaxation so I can keep this beautiful smile on my face and this love in my heart and keep myself balanced out there for you. And the one thing I want to say, you know, that dreadful disease, diabetes, we all hear that dirty word. Many, many, many people are suffering that, being misborn, misguided, and lied to. I want to go to www.defeatdiabetes.checkout Dr. Glenda Davis. She's going to educate you, and I mean really educate you. You're going to have to unlearn, to relearn, to live. You know, you can, you must, you will defeat diabetes, according to Dr. Glenda Davis, and she is the real thing. So again, www.defeatdiabetes.com. Dr. Glenda Davis. We're going to get rolling, but I'm going to play this song for all of the lost ones out there, and especially for my friend Naj, who no longer has her son. Naj, we got you, we got you, we got you. My friend Naj and all of those persons, 99 at the last count, that are no longer here, and Naj's son is no longer here. You know, we believe in another way. They go into another lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We'd like to send our condolences out to everyone out there. And to us, we want to stay balanced. We want to stay focused. And those persons with diabetes, you want to live, okay? We're going to play some music back to back. Miss Stephanie Smith will join us at 8:30. We were scheduled for last night, but we had some technical difficulties. And perhaps maybe Tiffany and I chime in, too. So you want to stay here and stay with this Teller Tuesday. You know, I'm going to tell you this. No matter what obstacles you are faced with, don't believe in no defeat, no retreating. Where there's a will, there's a way. Okay? There's a will, there's a way. And keep this in mind. Winter always turns into spring. So we got a lot of work out here to do. Research is getting ready to get interesting. Do your research. Your research is going to jump off. Don't wait until it starts. Be ahead of time. And I'm going to tell you this.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up,
don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up,
we can't give up the fight. your fancy material world. Don't see the length of chain binding love. Our own ancestors, our hungry ghosts, closets so full of bones, they won't close. Colored upward mobility, but you've been sold down the river. It's another form of slavery, and the whole man-made white world is your master. You and your fancy material world, creating your own image, supreme God. Your Virgin Mary, your Holy Ghost, came to be pure of heart, hands that are stained with blood. Colored upward mobility, but you've sold down the river. There's another form of slavery, and the whole man-made white world is your master. Fancy material world, don't see the links of chain binding love. Our own ancestors, our hungry ghosts, closets are full of bones, they won't close. Colored upward mobility, but you've been sold down the river. Another form of slavery, and the whole man-made white world is a master. You and your fancy material world, don't see the links of chain binding. You and your fancy material world, don't see the links of chain binding. Fancy material world, don't see the links of chain binding.
Oh, my mama told me, cause she said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. I was a pretty young girl once. I had dreams, I had high hopes. Married a man, he stole my heart away. Gave his love, but what a high price to pay. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. Why was I such a young fool? Thought I'd make history, making babies was the best I could do. Thought I made something could be mine forever. Thought of the hard way, one can't possess another. And all that you have is your soul. No. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. With all that you have is your soul. I thought I could find a way. See the system, make a deal and have no debts to pay. Take it all, I take it all, had to run away. Leave myself, first, last, and first rate. All that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Is all that you have is your soul. Here I am, I'm waiting for a better day. Second chance, a little luck to come my way. Hope to dream, hope that I can sleep again. Awake in a world with a clear conscience and clean hands. All that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. All that you have is your soul. Oh, my mama told me, 'cause she said she learned the hard way. Say she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. All that you have. All that you have. All that you have is your soul.
That's right. All you have is your soul. And you have to keep that courage and that confidence and everything up. You move forward. You nothing stop you. If there's a brick wall there, go through it, because you know it's something on the other way, on the other side of it. Now, we have with us a courageous, fearless lady on the line, is Stephanie Smith. And the title I gave was I Escaped Maui. Yes, she was there. We have her with us this evening. And Stephanie Smith, welcome in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you feeling today?
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much. I am feeling wonderful. I am feeling grateful. And I know that I have a purpose ahead of me in this life. So, well, like you said, I feel like I'm fearless now, because my line is, when things come up and people try and face, you know, put something in my face, I'm like, honey, I just got out of a hurricane. Like, this is nothing. Okay. But I had the most beautiful experience in Maui, short of how it ended up. But before I even landed, looking out the window, it was my first time going to Hawaii, period. And Maui happened to be the place that I chose to go to. A friend of mine had a timeshare there. She was like, come on and go with me. So I, you know, saw this as an opportunity to go to Hawaii. So before we even landed, just looking out the window, the water was just so beautiful and clear. And when we landed, as soon as we landed, I just felt like I was at peace. There were so many beautiful sights that I took pictures of. But at the airport, they have musicians there playing their Polynesian, their native music at the airport, okay? So they greeted us there
with song. And then we went to the first Times Square place because her place wasn't quite ready for that day. So we stayed at another location on the north, on the south end of the island, not far from the airport, which was nice too. Anywhere in Hawaii was beautiful. However, when we got to her actual resort, it was up on the 10th floor. We had a balcony view of the ocean, and there was a pool down below with tiki torches at night, and the pool was heated. It was just beautiful, beautiful. And I got the opportunity to, we were actually staying in the beautiful city of, I have so many names, of Lahaina, okay. So while we were in Lahaina, we got to see all of the mountainside. We saw beautiful historic Lahaina. We went to the gallery there. I took beautiful pictures of an angel with the ocean in the background. And we went to the Honolulu Cookie Company. And also there was a little culture center that was specifically for the native people and the banyan trees. And so much rich culture in Maui, but particularly in Lahaina. So I told her the only thing I wanted to see when I got there, well, of course, I wanted to go to all the beautiful beaches, and we did that. We went to the Kaanapali Beach. We went to Napali Beach, and I was looking for turtles. I wanted to see turtles. I don't know why I had this dream about these big turtles floating in the ocean, so, and I was swimming with the turtles. Now, I knew when I got to Hawaii, I did not want to swim with them, but I wanted to see them, okay, because I wasn't getting in the water because they do have sharks. So, but I said, I want to see the turtles. So that was my main mission, was to see the hula dances and to see the turtles. I did happen to go to a mall in Lahaina that had these beautiful hula dancers, male and female, and they put on a great show. I recorded that as well. And I went to the Napali Beach because that's where I heard the turtles would be, and I was on the rocks and took some beautiful pictures of that. I have pictures of many, many sunsets in Hawaii. I didn't stay in Lahaina the whole time. I went to other places, like I said, Napali, because I was in the furthest north end of Lahaina in a resort next to Napali. Okay, but we also were in Kaanapali and Wailea and all these other great cities in Maui, okay? So there wasn't a lot of trash there. It was clean. The air was just so clear and crisp. And it was just beauty everywhere I looked. And I'm glad that I captured it all on film or on video. Not only that, was it beautiful, like aesthetically, the people there, you talk about aloha spirit, okay? Before even getting on the plane, I was at the coffee shop at the airport, and I was behind a woman, and when we got to the cash register, she was at one, I was at another, and she was from Hawaii, and she said, I'm going to pay for my coffee and hers, and she was giving me that, you know, paying it forward, aloha spirit. She said, well, now welcome to Hawaii. You have just been aloha. You have the aloha spirit. So when I got there, there were very friendly and gracious people there on the island. And so anyway, we had many, many days. I got there on the 2nd of August, and I would say that we had about a good days of vacation in, but on the night of the 6th, there was this loud sound that came from my window after seeing all the beauty, and it sounded like this. And so I thought maybe it was an airplane. You hear how loud that is? I said, it's death.
And so my friend who I went with, she goes to Maui every year because she has a timeshare that's been going there for the last 10 years. And she said, oh, it's just trade winds, you know. So I just said, well, okay. But that breeze felt so good because I had the windows open and then we had the other patio open. So you got the ocean breeze and that so-called trade wind breeze from the window. And I passed out like a baby. I was knocked out. But then I realized, like, I got up at 5 o'clock, and the power was out. I was like, oh, my goodness. And so, anyway, the day went on, and the people at the resort said, oh, there's a hurricane in Honolulu, but it's not going to affect us, you know. And my roommate assured me that, oh, this is just, you know, normal, because she told me to bring a flashlight before the trip, you know, for my trip, because I guess the power goes out on a regular basis. This is a regular occurrence in Maui. So I was thinking, okay, well, I guess this is how they roll here in Maui. So I had my flashlight handy and I could see. And then the plan was the next day, you know, on that day to go out into the city to go to the Kanapali Beach Club and go to various other places. And so we're riding down Front Street and I see the wind just really whistling, like way louder than what I just played. It's daytime now. The power is out, okay? And so everybody is hurrying at the grocery store or trying to get gas. The gas stations are closed. And I just noticed that the wind was kicking up quite a bit. The trees were blowing, the leaves were blowing everywhere, and there were people walking down Front Street. And I said to myself, I said, well, dang, I'm not from Maui, and I'm not no meteorologist, but if there is a hurricane in Honolulu, it's got to affect our weather here. It can't just be Honolulu. And so I said, this doesn't feel right. And so we're just driving along and, you know, still looking for gas. All the gas stations are closed because we have, like, you know, an 8-tank of gas at this point. And so something just didn't feel right. And I said, I think we need to get back to the resort. Okay, like, this just didn't look right to me. I was like, this ain't no trade winds. This ain't trade winds. This is a hurricane. So I'm like, we got to get back to the resort now. So my friend wanted to get something to eat. Well, can we at least get some grocery? I'm like, all right. So we get to the grocery store. I didn't even get out. I stayed in the car at first because I said, shoot, I ain't going in there. But then I realized, well, if it is a hurricane, I cannot be sitting in this car outside. I got to go in there where everybody else is, indoors. So she went in the store and got peanut butter and jelly and bread because we didn't have a refrigerator. So all the food in there was going to be spoiled. So we didn't know when the power was going to come back on. But I knew I had cooked something, and there was something in there. And I said, well, I'm going to get some rum. And I got rum, and I got Almond Joy bars, and I got a candle so we could, you know, see in the resort. So that's what we did. And I got that, and I started packing my suitcase. And she looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, I am packing. She said, what? I said, in case we need to evacuate. Okay? And she was like, really? I said, yes, really. So she was like, okay, well, I'm still going to go to this gas station across the street because I think they might be open. And right across the street, we didn't have power. They didn't have power, but she was able to park her vehicle right at the pump. Okay? And so by the time she came back, my bag was packed. And I said, I'm putting my suitcase in the car. And she's like, okay, me too. So we both wheeled our suitcases over there. And, you know, so that she would be first in line when the power came back on, because we're still hoping that the power is going to come back on. Okay, so at that point, the resort had chargers downstairs. They had a generator downstairs. So everybody was downstairs charging their phone, making toast in the toasters, drinking coffee. I wasn't interested in none of that, okay? I did charge my phone, but I didn't want no toast. I danced and didn't want no coffee, okay? I wanted to figure out what was going on exactly. And so we had no reception
on our phone, so we couldn't call anybody, and we certainly didn't have any internet because, you know, this storm was going on. So believe it or not, I went to sleep while the car was parked across the street at the gas station. Woke up the next day. Again, my roommate runs across the street to go, you know, check on the car. And at that point, that is when she discovered that there was a fire, because the people whose homes burned down were also in line at the gas station waiting to get gas, okay? Everybody was lined up behind us waiting to get gas. There was a guy whose car ran out of gas who was watching our car overnight, and he was not a victim of the fires, but he was just sitting there waiting for the gas to come back on. So we had somebody watching the car, which was great. He was our little angel. So she came back. She said, "Stephanie, all these houses burning out, blah, blah, blah." And so I was like, "Oh, my God." So and Front Street, the same street that we were driving down, you know, in Lahaina, in the historic district, and that very same grocery store that we went to go get food, well, it actually blew up like an hour after we left. So I feel very blessed, very protected, that nothing, you know, touched us. And I was really sad to hear these people's stories of how they just barely escaped from their homes that were about to blow up. And how I also heard from one of the people at the gas station that people were jumping into the ocean from Front Street to avoid the fire. Now, I don't know if it was my intuition that kicked in or my angels that were whispering in my ear, or my ancestors, but I'm grateful for all of my sixth senses that told me that we needed to get the heck out of there ASAP. And my heart goes out to all the people that lost their lives and the people that lost their homes, the people who have to start all over again, people who worked hard all their life, because I heard these stories from people at the gas station of how they didn't have anything in food in the refrigerator. I had these Toll House cookies, this cookie dough. And we were able to use the grills there. So I put the cookies in a pan, and I made a pan of cookies. And my roommate, Maya, suggested that I take the cookies over there and feed them, because they had been there all night, just parked there. So I gave them some cookies and potato chips. She brought them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And anyway, it was just, it went from a totally beautiful paradise vacation to total disaster. And the hardest thing was figuring out how to get off of the island. We weren't scheduled to leave until the 10th, but this happened on the 8th. So at some point, someone told me where I could get reception on my phone, because we didn't have any reception. They said, "Go out to the beach and go over to the right. There's a little pocket there where you can get cell phone coverage." So I called, and my phone was blown up. I had all kind of text messages. "Where are you? Are you okay? How are you?" Blah, 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 from family and friends. And so I called each and every one of them back one by one, or texted them and let them know that I was okay. Excuse me. And so because I didn't have any internet access, I didn't know exactly what was going on. But by now, it is on the news. It's on CNN. It's, you know, full coverage. Everybody knows that Maui, this island of Lahaina, is blowing up, you know, the fire and everything that happened. So I heard that they were evacuating people to get to the airport. However, we had no gas to get to the airport. And in order to get to the airport, we had to drive past on the 30. There's only two ways to get to the airport as far as we knew, which was the 30 freeway, which is a two-lane highway, or to take the back road. So I heard that the authorities were helping get people out, so I called 911, and I said, "Help, this is an emergency." And then they said, "Well, where are you?" I said, "Well, I'm at the resort." And then they told me, "Well, if you're at the resort, then this is not an emergency." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "If you're at a resort, then it's not an emergency." I said, "Well, if I'm stuck on a place, on an island, and there's fires everywhere, and I'm trying to get to the airport, and you're telling me," she said, "Well, there's constant fires going on, ma'am, and, you know, like, you're not in an emergency."
So I guess she was expecting me to be like in a dangerous fire situation. And it was not an immediate situation, which is true. But to me, I thought she could at least tell me how. I said, well, how can I get to the airport? She said, well, take the back way or whatever, some of the windy road. But I heard that that was a very, very dangerous road, even without a hurricane going on, because it's, you know, no railing. And you just driving along this road, which is on the edge of the hill and the ocean. No, thank you. I'm not doing that. So I hung up on her. And so nobody. I called the police station. They didn't really give me any assistance. So later on, there was a friend of ours that was calling and talking to my roommate, and then I called her and asked her if she had any information. And later on, I had just decided at this point that if I was going to die on this island, I was not going to go out sober. So I decided to go sit on my balcony and open up my wine and pour my wine and just relax. And so I sat there looking at the ocean, and I kept thinking that this might be it. I don't know, you know, because I don't know how I'm going to get off of this island. I had given up for a minute. And I just needed to just, like, relax my mind because I was totally stressed out. And people were downstairs huddling and talking about how they can get to the airport. And there were some people that were just my neighbor. I saw her rolling out in her suitcase. And I went, but she had like 10 people with her. So I knew there was no room for me in the car. So later on, my friend comes upstairs. She goes, oh, I met some people. I have some friends. They're going to take us to the airport in the morning. And I'm thinking, that's too late. Like, I don't know what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. There ain't going to be no day tomorrow. So the phone rings. This other friend calls and she goes, and she was talking in a very calm voice. She said, they're saying on the news that the island is about to blow up. The whole island is about to blow up. And the National Guard is on the way. And I said, oh, my goodness. She said, they are taking people, escorting people from the Maui Sheraton. So if you get there, we had enough gas to get there. So I had this backpack that I've been carrying the whole time, like for the last couple of days, with all my important stuff in it. The suitcases had clothes. I'm like, you know, I could lose that, but I wanted to hold on to my purse and all the other stuff. So I grabbed that backpack and my bottle of wine, and I got out of there. We went to the Maui Sheraton, and we're in this rental car. And it's like, well, where should we park it? And I'm like, I don't care where we park it. Let's just go. So we left the car in a safe place. We grabbed the keys. We got our luggage. And we got on the shuttle. And the shuttle took us to the airport. And it seemed like just the longest road to glory. I was like, oh, my goodness. We passed by the police. We passed by the fire department. We passed by what looked like the National Guard. And nobody stopped us because we heard that there was a lot of, you know, it might be difficulty to get to the airport. But we went straight, okay, took the keys to the rental car place, and we rented a van that we slept in at the airport overnight, and we flew out on our originally designated plane to Los Angeles on August 10th at 11:20 a.m. on Alaska Airlines. So, oh, my goodness, I was so happy to be home. I didn't know what to do. When I saw my luggage come out, thing, I grabbed it so fast and got in the car. Now, every day I'm getting phone calls still to this day. People, are you all right? Are you okay? Because I happened to post on Facebook that I was in Maui, and I told people that I was going. So people are starting to add up, like, well, wait a minute, Stephanie's there. Is she all right? Blah, blah, blah. So every day I get phone calls seeing if I'm okay, if I'm alive. So as each day went by, the phone calls tapered off. Even though I marked myself safe in Maui, when I marked myself safe, I wasn't really sure if I was, but I knew that I was not in that particular fire. But I really wasn't out of the safety zone because I was still stuck there. So I'm glad that I have people that care about me and that, you know, me out of this situation to people who are watching the news and telling me where to go, telling us where to go. Because, and most importantly, again, I'm glad that somebody was looking out for me and watching over me
and gave, you know, a sense to react accordingly. And again, that was one of the most beautiful trips, but it was one of the most stressful trips that I've ever been on. I'm glad I went, but I do not want to ever go to Hawaii again. I'm glad I saw it. And but I got home on the 10th, and, you know, everybody was like, okay, well, you need to unpack all your things. My brother was like, you need to unpack physically and emotionally. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, shoot. But I realized as time was passing by, Linda, that I did have some PTSD. I did not want to. I was scared to drive.
Oh, my goodness.
I was scared to drive. I was scared to open my door because I thought if I opened the door, the hurricane was going to get me.
Oh,
I was still taking me a few days to get myself together. And when I finally opened the door and went outside, because what did I decide to do? I don't know where I went, the first place I went. But I said, well, Stephanie, this is ridiculous. You're not in Hawaii anymore. Like, you know, you need to go outside. And so I went to go get in my car, and my landlord was outside. I hardly ever see him, but he happened to be outside that day. And he's like, oh, Stephanie, how are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just glad to be alive. I just got back from Maui. And he's like, oh, no, no, it was rough. And I just broke down crying. And, you know, he hugged me, and it was just, you know, he had so much compassion for me. And everybody has been having a lot of compassion. And I'm slowly but surely getting back to my normal routine. I'm back at work, and just thankful and grateful and glad to be alive.
Wow. Stephanie, well, you know, you got angels following you, but when I spoke with you earlier, you said you got on, you was at the airport. Before you got on the plane, you might have left some shoes, but you had that wine with you, right? And you were in the bathroom.
I still had the wine. And before we went through TSA, I wasn't throwing that wine away because I went through too much to get that wine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? I finished this wine because it was like my nerves were just rattle, and I said, I think I just need to have the last glass of this wine. It was morning, mind you. It's like 9 o'clock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
9 in the morning, but I didn't care what it was. So I went in the bathroom, and I popped the cork and chug-a-lug down the rest of that wine, and I set the bottle down in the bathroom. So sorry to the Maui Airport,
yeah,
that I left that bottle there. But anyway, and then that was actually the first time that I broke down because I didn't have time to cry when all this was going on because I was too busy thinking about what to do. So it just dawned on me at that moment, Linda, that I made it to the airport, and I went through a hell of an ordeal to get to where I am, and it just hit me. I hadn't seen anything on social media. I didn't know what could happen until I got home, but I knew that I escaped something that was pretty darn major and disastrous, and I knew that I had just been driving down that street an hour prior to it blowing up, and I was just so grateful, and I said, whew. So, yeah, I had that last little sip of wine, and I went through TSA and got on the plane.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad. Yeah, we was over here working the command post. You know we was on the command post. We, what? Where is she? Oh, no. And then you sent the text back. Well, I wanted you to tell the story, you know, awesome story about survival. That's what we had posted out last night. It was about survival, you know, and tips and things to watch out for. You know, your family's seven, so you can look at that sky and see what's getting ready to happen. You know that feel, you know, when that wind changes and it gets still, but yet it's blowing, knocking roofs off the house, but it's real still. You know what's getting ready to brew up in there. And she was fortunate that you had packed, so you encouraged her to pack her bag. No, she was still sitting back looking at the sunset. You said, I packed my bag. So in order to survive and also pay attention, and the store that you guys had went to shop in, it blew up, what, you said how many hours later you had just been in there. So, yes, I was told to text you.
Yeah, I think it was like 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh,
yeah.
I've been to I like it, but I've only been to the Big Island. We didn't have enough time to go to Maui. We attended Hawaii. We was working at the Postal Service, and we was working so many days, 10 hours, 6 days a week, you know, just tired. So these cards would come through the palm trees. So I asked my friend, gee, you want to, let's go have breakfast here on the 4th of July. So we said, okay. So we went to this travel agency. We say, we want a package to Hawaii for the weekend. So they said, we don't have a package. I said, okay, airline ticket and hotel. So when we open up our door, we just write on the sand. So they thought we were kidding. They said, okay. They didn't want no credit cards. They didn't want no checks. They wanted a cashier check. We was back the next morning. We had our amount ready. Then they said they're serious. So then they were telling us all the places to go. So we worked at night. We got off at 7 o'clock. We took a little wipe off in the ladies' room, and we headed for the airport. But they lost my friend's luggage, so she had on heels. And I said, don't worry about it. We only have 48 hours. I'll take off my shoes. We'll go bare feet, okay? Don't worry about it. So we were there for the 4th of July. We went and had saw the pig come out the ground. And I got up there and with all those Mai Tais, they kicked me off the stage because they said I was a native. I was up there hooling with those girls, okay? But it was a quick trip. They said, no, you're a native. We bought a camera and left the instructions at home, and we were looking for someone that had a camera like ours so they could load the film in. We had a ball in those 48 hours, but we were so tired. I said, you know, I'm going to take a nap while you do. She said, I'm going to take a shower. We woke up at 6 o'clock the next morning. We had made our tours to go see, Pearl Harbor. So they called and they said, your tour bus is ready. We said, we're not going. We got to find the living to buy us some breakfast. So then we went and had breakfast. And I said, you know, we haven't even been on the beach. We had two swimming suits. We changed up, rolled in the sand. We had a ball, but it is a very beautiful place, very expensive place. But I did want to go to Maui because that's the way. That's up in the mountains, right? And those roads, then you say people were on the news. The wind was so strong, Stephanie blowing the cars off into the water, okay? It was not
good.
Yeah,
that was the back road that she was suggesting when I called 911.
Okay.
No, the police, when I called the police department, they told me to take the back road out. I'm like, no. I'm like, are you serious? I hung up on her. Like, you got to be kidding
okay.
me. I'm not going down there. But, yeah.
Everybody
so,
another
thing, Linda, when I was talking about the Aloha spirit, when this went down, I told you I brought people cookies. Not far from the gas station, they had a shelter, and I guess they were passing out food and stuff. But those same people that I brought cookies to, they gave us chili. And when we got to the airport, there was a guy. Right now I'm hungry because, you know, I spent the night in the car and all I had was wine. So I was hungry.
Okay.
And when we got to the airport, he was passing out fried rice in containers. And I tell you, I don't know if it was chicken, I don't know if it was pork, I don't know what it was, but it was so good. And I don't think it was just because I was hungry. It was like, it was delicious. It was like the best fried rice I ever had in my life. And so I ate it all up. And that was the cup that I used for my wine in the cup. And I, you know, was sitting there eating my fried rice, and I poured the wine in there, and I was sitting there, and the police officers were sitting right there, and the press was sitting there waiting. I guess they were waiting for the National Guard to come. I don't know who they were waiting on. But I didn't even care if I was on video, and I dared anybody to say anything to me because I'm like, this is a crisis. I'm like, I need to have me a sip of wine. So anyway, and then I finished it the next morning in the bathroom. But just the way everybody came together as a community in a crisis showed me the aloha spirit of my. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say that part. But I was, my heart was so warm to how everybody was just looking out for one another. And when they were downstairs making toast and coffee, that was the beginning of it. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't want any toast and I didn't want no coffee. But they were bringing down their toasters and their coffee makers and sharing it with the other guests in the resort.
Okay. Okay. Because so it was because it was no electricity because all those rooms had their own amenities in it. But if you didn't have any electricity up in there, you know, you weren't able to do anything. Well, that's, I'm listening to you. So one thing I can say about survival, whether you're going to Hawaii or down the street, travel with a flashlight. See, that's a survival tactic, you know, that we don't really,
yeah,
really think about, you know. So you said you had your flashlight, so that's something that needs to go into that little suitcase just in case, you know. Yeah. Stephanie, I am so glad that you got through it, you escaped it, because we was over here doing our part. And even when the person started coming in at the airport, I was looking at the news to see if I saw you fly by there. Okay, I might have saw your arm. I don't know. I don't know, but we are just glad that everybody that's back, and we're sad that there's those who are no longer with us. I can, the families, you know, the person. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I have so much footage of the hula dances and stuff, and I was showing them to my daughter when I got home, Asia, my youngest. He said, oh, my, Lisa, it's so beautiful, but it's also sad because some of these people are probably not still here. And I was like, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was in Lahaina at the mall, and it was a bunch of kids that were doing the hula from, like, ages 4 to, I don't know, 21. So,
okay.
Yeah, but traveling, you know, you mentioned my family being from the South. Yes, my family is from the South, but I'm from Michigan, but I do have those southern roots. But Michigan, we have tornadoes. So I'm used to going in the basement, you know, whenever a tornado is coming. But we have warning, you know, on the TV or whatever, on the radio, tornadoes coming. All they told us was that the winds are going to be kicking up because of the Honolulu hurricane. We were going to have high winds. So they did warn us about that, but nobody knew, according to the news now. We didn't see it. They didn't see it coming. They didn't know. And the fires were certainly not something that people knew about. But, yes, when you travel, as a matter of fact, I looked in my flashlight that I still carry this backpack around because now I'm a massage therapist, and I put all my stuff in my bag. So I still have my flashlight in there, and I think I'm going to always have a flashlight for the rest of my life. Okay.
I understand. Now you make me go buy one.
I have it on my phone, but you know, your phone might be out of battery. You never know. So keep a flashlight and always have a bag packed with all your essentials in it. That's another thing I learned. So I had all of my essentials, my wallet, my iPad, my phone, change of clothes in there, you know, and then all your other stuff, your clothes, other stuff that's not so important in your suitcase. So always have a small bag on you with all your important stuff so that if anything were to happen, you have your backpack on you and you'd be ready to go. Or as my grandma used to say, who was from Texas, be ready, roll. Ready, roll.
That's right.
I even slept ready, roll. I slept ready, roll the night before, okay? Took my shower and was ready, roll. Because the next, and I packed my bag, so.
Yeah. That's right. That's like, yeah, when earthquakes come, they get to shaking here in California. I sleep with my tennis right by the door, and I'm ready to roll. I'm fully dressed. So if I have to take out and at the door, there is a roll that I just grab it and go. And in there, everything is there. But I don't do backpacks, but listening to you, I'm going to pack a backpack now. And just, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a
one.
I'm sorry.
I have a cute backpack with flowers. You can get a cute backpack. I have one with flowers on it and everything. It's a really nice backpack, you know. It's not like a hiker's backpack, but it's a cute one with, you know, a black one with green and with leaves and red flowers and pink flowers. So, anyway.
Okay. Now you have to take mm-hmm. me backpack shopping. And I pick me up one and leave that hanging on the doorknob, too. As a matter of fact, one on the doorknob and one in the car. I have cautious like that. It's always best when you're dealing with children. And when I had the children, I always had a backpack, a big suitcase in there with everything, just in case we were traveling in the car, and one outside mm-hmm. That you could grab just in case, you know, you had to, it was on the outside, so that you think about that. But I never thought, I had a flashlight for Katrina. When Katrina happened, I went to the Army surplus store, and I got me one of those minor flashlights that you wear on your head, and some desert uh-huh. boots, and the water that you wear on you. You wrap it on your body. It's military. And I said, because if something happens and you got water, somebody's going to want it, you got to be your water. So fix it where you can wear it on you. And military meet, and they laugh. What are you doing with that? Miners, that guy's no. I said, because I need my hands free. Okay, and I still need to see that flashlight, but never do I pack one when I'm traveling, but you just woke me up, and I hope you woke many people up out there. Put that flashlight in with your luggage, because you never know. Well, Stephanie, we are so appreciative and grateful that I know it was rough, and I wanted you to come and talk about it. We had technical problems last night, but where there's a will, there's a way, and they got that straightened out, and here you are. That's why I said, let me call. I didn't know what your schedule was, but I'm glad that we can make it happen, because you have enlightened us. You have made us aware of appreciation for life, and you're compassionate. You baked your cookies, and in return, you got it back, because when you light a candle for another one, your path becomes brighter. We understand that, and I know you like to get in the wind and get in the sky and go soak your feet in the jacuzzi. You're gone when I said Maui. I said, there she is again, but then I heard about Maui. I said, okay, we need to get busy over here. Let me track. Let me see what I can do. What was my text? Are you back home? You said, no, I'm at the airport. Okay. Because it was no electricity. And did you guys travel with backup battery chargers?
Yeah. You mean backup chargers for what? For the phone? Or
portable chargers, for the phone.
Yeah, I had a charger, but we didn't have to recall nobody until they told me to go to the beach to get reception. So I had gotten all those text messages from you guys, you know, once I got to the beach. So I tried to answer each and every one of them. And sometimes it didn't even go through, and I couldn't send it until later. But I'm sure tomorrow I'll probably get more messages, hey, are you okay, on either Facebook or text or whatever. I'm just, like, glad to know that people are thinking about me. But, you know, Linda, I'm going to say this really quick. You were talking about Katrina and these things, and I don't want to alarm anyone, but it did get me to thinking, like someone said to me, that could happen anywhere. So they keep talking about, like, we have earthquakes in L.A., okay? They got hurricanes in some places, and they have tornadoes in other places. So I never really paid attention to no emergency, you know, preparedness.
before. Like they always say in LA, get your stuff together in case there's an earthquake. But now I will, and I'll make sure, and I think that we all should have our stuff together just in case, no matter where you live, no matter what part of the world, a country that you're in, everybody has their natural, you know, happenstance. So just be prepared, watch the stars, watch the signs, because we are born with that intuition. We just need to tap into it and know when something is about to happen. The animals know. They know when it's happening. The birds are getting the heck out of there. When I saw the birds flying, I was like, wait a minute. Okay.
Watch that animal, okay? He will tell you where to go. And it's survival not only in disasters, but you have to be aware. And when you go into, how can I put it? I remember we used to travel on the road, you know, my family, the musicians, and my mother always told me where to position myself in the dressing room, okay, so that I could see everything moving. You want to see everything moving, so you position yourself a certain way. And I was taught that at an early age. And then when I go to the movies and big theaters, I look and I locate all the exits. I look for the exits. I want to know where they are. And going out clubbing, you know, in the wild days, they say, if you're in a situation and something happens in there, watch that waitress because she knows how to get up out of there. So you follow her. So sometimes we, you know, we laugh at that type of stuff, but it's important. It is important that we become aware and stay aware. You never know what's coming up, what's coming around you, even without your planning, even for any type of planning. You know, once you start planning and assisting others, you think about, well, what kind of plans are you going to leave? You know, all of that stuff is important. And in order for us to really, really understand, we have to keep ourselves balanced. We have to keep ourselves focused. And I'm feeling, you know, really, I'm smiling over here that you're back, but I hate that you went through that trauma after you got back, afraid to go out the door. That was horrendous. Didn't you say the wind was so strong, it blew a bracelet off of your arm?
When I got into the ocean, well, that's a whole nother story. I don't know. The waves also changed, too. That's another thing I noticed. See, because I had been swimming in that. The waves in the ocean got stronger. That was another thing I noticed, like right before this hurricane happened.
Oh, yeah.
The waves were strong. It's like the current was just like, you know, blowing like really hard. And so I got in the water, and the wave came up, and it was so strong, it took a bracelet off of my arm. However, that's a whole nother spiritual thing, I believe, because these were precious stones and minerals. And, you know, they have this theory in Hawaii that you don't take anything from there, you know.
Right.
Because everything belongs to itself. You know, the ocean is like the mother, and you, all of the rocks and the stones, and you know, that all belongs to the ocean. However, I see that as the ocean not really taking it from me, but I believe that I was attributing to, so I was actually paying attention to the ocean. That was the way I saw it. So I saw it as a blessing, and I believe that also helped to protect me. That's just my own spiritual belief. It's not science, but that's what I believe. That there are a whole lot of spiritual things that happen, and that's just one of the things. But so I put that spiritual energy into the ocean, which was what saved a lot of people. That ocean is what saved whole people.
Well, you say you have Jordan of the turtles. It wasn't the turtles that you saw, it was the people.
I didn't think about that until now, about that dream I had about the turtles in the ocean, and maybe that was the sign.
It was the people.
Oh, girl, I'm about to cry. But yeah, so
I didn't say it to make you cry. I just said it to make you aware. But that's how things come to you. Though you can cry, I'll cry over here with you. I'm so happy you're back because I don't think I want to go that way either. I love water. But see, I grew up in tornadoes and hurricanes. See, I've seen a tornado go down where side of the street and skip 10 houses and wipe out the whole side, other side, and just, cut like a knife. But a hurricane, coming up on that gulf. And it's really not the winds that are the problem. It's afterwards, just the surge when you're up around, water, because we're right on the Brazos River. And it's the after effects of those winds. Galveston was 46 miles south of Lake Jackson. We lived in Houston, but then further down, we're closer to Lake Jackson and going to Galveston. And in that bad boy, they rebuild those homes. They'd be built up on stilts 10 feet high because that water will come on up there. And the wind.
Yes,
is like,
I've been there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's another beautiful place. But, I'm going to just tell you really quick. You were talking about your family telling you, your mother telling you where to position yourself in the dressing room so you could see everything. And being born and raised in Detroit, I was taught not to sit with my back to the front door.
Never.
I sit in a restaurant with my back to the front door. I always want to position myself. I can see everything that's going on anywhere, restaurant, club, wherever. So, also, I had an uncle who was very streetwise, and he never parked facing in to a parking lot. He always backed in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know why he did that, but I figured out later, it was so that in case of an emergency, so that transpired down to his daughter, who was my cousin. I just got back to Detroit, and I was like, go on and park in there. She was like, okay, I'm going to back in. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So I'm going to start doing that for now. I never really adopted that, but I'm going to start, backing into parking spaces. But one day, she had dropped her mother off at the bank, and somebody was robbing the bank, and she ran out. And then, of course, she pulled out real quick and swooped her mama up and they got out of there. But, if you're trying to back up and see behind you, that time, you need to get out of there quickly.
Don't waste any time.
Back in your parking spaces. Don't ever have your back to the door. Like you said, be able to see everything. Read the room and be able to get out in case. I'm just so glad, again, that I packed that suitcase because I didn't have time. Like, what if, Linda, the woman had told me, you all can get the shuttle, from the Maui airport, from the Sheraton Maui to get you to the airport, and I had to pack all my stuff. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you're better than me because, too long. I usually leave my suitcase packed. I leave it packed. And put it on the luggage stand, and just if I have some evening gowns or something like that, I might hang that. But everything I keep in my suitcase because I don't want to go looking for it.
I got to give my roommate credit. She kept hers packed too. She's from D.C. She had her backpack, so when I said let's put it in there, all she had to do was throw a few things in there, and she zipped it up, and that was it. We were out.
Yeah.
So it didn't take her long pack at all. But me, I like to take all my stuff out and put all my shorts and my dress together and everything, but I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Well,
I keep my shit.
Well, that's why we said it's the storage and survival. And for a lot of hotel people, people go to Vegas a lot. We traveled on the road, did shows in Las Vegas. And when the persons would, get their room keys and stuff, and we would take groups of people with us, I would say, when you get to your suite, count how many doors you're from the exit sign. And they would look at me, I said, count them. Because if you cannot see, at least you can feel to get to those stairs and get out from there. I've always did that. I don't know. Yeah, through the traveling and stuff. And theaters, I'll go in the theater and I'll sit as close to that exit as I possibly can. And really don't care about sitting down front. I like to sit in the back so I can watch everybody moving. I can see. But you woke me up with the flashlight. Now, although I've never thought about carrying the flashlight. So you see how each one teaches one, and our experiences are here to help everyone. So, Stephanie, I'm looking at the TikTok over here. I extended it out because I did not want to rush you. Definitely did not want to rush you. I wanted you to share with us, tell us that story. And please, when you start writing it down, that's a movie, girl. Please, it's a movie.
Right.
Experience now.
Told me that. Because I have pictures to go along with the story. You know, I got a story and I got proof. So
okay.
I'm working with it. That's going to be, I'm getting on it. Yes, ma'am.
Get on it.
Get that
I know you're an entrepreneur. I know your clients think you're back, and I would like to say something. Why I have her here, you want them muscles relaxed, and you want one of the best body massages that one could ever get, you want to go, Stephanie. Yes, from the hot rocks to the whatever. Yes, this is the lady here. And I know that your clients are glad that you made it back because they wouldn't have been satisfied with nobody else, okay? Mm-mm. No. Now, once you touch them, that's it. You want to shout out the information or you want to keep it private? How you want to do it? How would one contact you?
Well, I am listed under the Body Temple Massage, and I have a website. It is www.thebodytemplemassage.com, and it has all of my information on there. You can email me for an appointment, and it lists all of my services that I have on the website. And I had clients texting me as well. I left them out, but I had a whole lot of clients like, "Hey, X, are you okay?" etc. So I've been scheduling appointments. You know, that's why I went out the house. Otherwise, I probably would have just still been in the house. But I knew I had to work. So, yeah. Gradually, I'm getting back into booking my appointments, and I'm happy to do so. So. Yeah.
So,
well,
Stephanie,
thank you so much for having me on the show. Stephanie Joy.
I want you to tell Father those beautiful girls and that grandson, Mr. I call him Jimi Hendrix, but his name is Hendrix, that Auntie left him and going to pinch him on his cheek, and I know he's glad Grandma's back because you spoiled him to death, and he wouldn't have known how to do it. Stephanie, thank you for sharing your story. I hope that I've helped you release. I know you've helped me. And hopefully that listeners out there understand that survival is the key. And we have to think when whatever we're doing, you have to think. So my top of the list is I have a flashlight in the car. I have a flashlight in the house, you know, just in case I need to see. But I never thought about packing one in my suitcase. So thank you for enlightening us, sharing with us. And I would love to see those pictures. But everything that you have, keep it under lock and key. And I'm going to put on a mint green vest for your debut, okay? That's all I'm saying. Mint green is my color. Stephanie, we love you. Get you some rest. You for getting back to work and just sharing your story. We're glad you're back. And we're going to continue to send prayers and condolences to those who are no longer with us. And we're going to call her the evening, Stephanie Joy Smith. What is it? www.thebodytemple.com. If you want to have those muscles relaxed and get the best
massage, thebodytemplemassage.com. Yeah.
Okay. Body Temple Massage.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having
me, Linda. Thank you for taking out the time. Thank you.
Good night.
We love you. Stephanie Smith. Yes, I'm back.
You know?
And that's the rest for it.
Every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. So we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish rough, the way we do Proud Mary. Rolling
on the river.
Listen to the story now.
Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost 1 minute of sleep, and I was worrying about the way the things might have been. They will keep on turning. Ooh, the Proud Mary keep on burning. Cleaned a lot of plates in Memphis,
and I
pumped a lot of pain down in New Orleans. But I never saw the good side of the city until I hitched a ride on the riverboat queen.
So the
big wheel keep on turning. Oh, the Proud Mary keep on burning.
Rolling
on a river.
Rolling on the river.
Mary
rolling.
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 Rolling. Rolling on a river.
Rolling on the
the key in the palm of your hand.
waking up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Jerry Care.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Waking up.
Jerry Care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.